Hey y'all, we're going to take a look at Luke chapter 10 and the parable of the Good Samaritan. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest who was going down that road was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." The parable of the Good Samaritan is maybe hard to read because we're so familiar with it. It's such a kind of a cultural icon. And I think we probably take for granted the degree to which people are helpful in our culture because of the influence of Christian teaching and of this parable over the centuries. But there's a few things worth pointing out about this parable. Of course, notice that the text indicates that the lawyer wanted to justify himself. In other words, this is a clue that he doesn't really want to learn from Jesus. He wants to, as it were, defend himself or make himself feel good about himself or make himself look good in other people's eyes. And so Jesus gives this parable. Now, the most important thing about the parable to note is that Samaritans were hated by Jews. This was a people group with a questionable lineage, according to Jews, and they wouldn't so much as eat with a Samaritan. Of course, it should also call to mind the woman at the well in John chapter 4, another scenario in which the disciples are shocked that Jesus speaks to both a Samaritan and a woman. And so we have to see the Samaritan as the worst kind of person possible, somebody that we would consider an enemy, somebody that we wouldn't even want to have any association with. And of course, the scandal of the parable of the Good Samaritan is that the priest doesn't show mercy, the Levite doesn't show mercy, but the one, our enemy, is the one to show exemplary mercy. Of course, it's also worth noting that the guy said, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus turns around the question and says, "Who was the neighborly one in this one?" In other words, the lawyer is wanting to say, basically, who's the person that's outside of the realm of my obligation to show him mercy? Instead, Jesus says to him, "Are you a neighbor?" See, the question is, are you neighborly in the way that you show sacrificial love and service to the needy around you? So the whole parable is really, again, doing what Jesus usually does, taking people's presuppositions and turning them upside down. The question is not, to whom do you owe this, and maybe, therefore, to whom do you not owe it? But the question is, are you a neighbor? And you're called to be a neighbor even to your enemy, should you come across him in a position of need. I should also point out that what the Samaritan does for the man who's fallen in with thieves is a little unusual. Pouring oil and wine weren't necessarily common medical practices at the time. So it's as if, it's actually, this is priestly language, and there was a Levite and a priest that goes by. So it seems like Jesus is suggesting that the act of mercy toward a needy person is a greater thing than a sacrifice. Or maybe we should say that the act of mercy towards someone is the fulfillment of the sacrifices. And so practical love is the aim of the sacrificial system. But the last thing that I would like to point out is that there's a long Christian tradition of seeing this parable as a summary of the whole life and ministry of Jesus. The man who is going from Jerusalem to Jericho is the human race in general, or maybe Adam, that we have descended from the place of worship and communion with God to a place of wickedness and judgment, that the thieves are sin or devils or both that bring us to the point of death, that the priest and the Levite are, maybe we should say, the law. They have good things in general, but they provide no help to the human race. And then, of course, Jesus is the Samaritan. And this is significant because Jesus is rejected. He's considered someone with whom righteous Jews shouldn't associate. Yet he takes it upon himself with his own resources to care for the man, to bind him, to bring him to the inn, which we could see as the church, and to commission other people to take care of this man, and to promise that he will repay all when he returns to judge the living and the dead. And so I think the value of seeing this parable as first and foremost a parable of Jesus' ministry is that it takes the call to love our neighbor or to be a neighbor to everyone whom we encounter that is in need. It takes that from being a sort of a legalistic thing, a sort of a moralistic thing, to we were the man who was beaten and almost left dead by sin and Satan. And Jesus emptied himself of his resources. He emptied himself of his divine glory and came and rescued us and brought us into the church and provided everything we need to recover. We await his return so that we can worship and thank him. So it makes our response of being a neighbor to whomever we encounter that is in need one of gratitude and grace rather than a kind of a moralistic thing by which we pull up our bootstraps. So may we thank God for Jesus, who is the Good Samaritan, who emptied himself and became nothing to rescue us who had turned from him and to bring us back to health and wholeness in his Father's house. And may we follow him and do as he does. Amen.